I just need to get this off my chest, and it's an apology and it's a confession, and I'm just going to get it out there because I feel like if you're going to judge me, go ahead and judge me because I deserve it.
Is there a photo or something like that? Are you trying to get out in front of something?
Well, there's a photo. There is a photo.
Okay.
Yeah. It's Anna and Raven. Let me say this way. I don't like to judge other parents' parenting styles.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Okay. But the one thing I never approved of, and I always gave like that side eye, was when people had their kids on the leashes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, when they snap it back like a little poodle or something like that that's on the curb, and they just get out of there. Like when they're about to sniff poo somewhere. I mean, let's face it. Sometimes little kids do get into poo. You could just reel them in like a fish. Oh, that's great.
It was the last straw, Raven. My toddler, Dakota, 19 months, is nothing like my older daughter. She is Houdini. Like, my older daughter would, like, always be afraid of everything. And I would tell her things like, you're going to get kidnapped
right.
if you wander away from mommy.
I mean, we wonder where the fear came from.
Right.
But this one doesn't really carry
doesn't
that
care.
Fear.
So we're at Kohl's, and once again, she disappears. I didn't even take my eyes off her for half a second. And now I'm frantic. And if you're a parent and you've ever been in that situation.
Oh, that first moment.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, when you lose something
stops.
That. Yeah, right.
And now I'm like, Dakota.
Right.
Dakota.
In a full panic.
Full panic.
Somebody call the authorities, lock the doors at the front. And, of course, she's probably just under, like, the coat rack.
Well, that's it. Kohl's is so crowded with clothes and everything that she thought it was funny. She was hiding in the clothes. But she does this all the time. She has no fear, this child.
Mm-hmm.
So I.
So now you tied a rope around her waist.
I did it. I got a leash.
I love it. I love it. Is it so? Does she wear it like a vest? Is it like a utility belt, like you strap to like Batman, or do you get her like a spiked collar that says Butch?
Well, at first I was talking to my older daughter Hayden, and I told her, I go, you know, they've got these baby leashes, and Hayden was like, what? I go, there are these like leashes that you can put on little kids so that they can't wander away. She goes, I want to walk Dakota. Like a dog. And I was like, you know what? Maybe Dakota will like it. So I went on Amazon.
But maybe that's not okay. Do you not understand
that? I just ordered one. And it's cute. It's like a ladybug backpack.
Yeah, I mean, it's cute for the people walking behind her.
Right.
She can't see it. It's just the thing that she's chained to now.
Yep. It's like it buckles in the front like a harness.
Oh, right? No.
And then off the back of the cute little backpack, it's got the leash, so you can kind of guide her around.
Right.
And I used it over the weekend, and I got to say.
You're happy with the results?
Yes.
She still came home with you.
But so much judgment. Like, I see. And then I'm the mom that, like, I see everybody judging me, and I immediately feel like I have to explain myself.
Well, how long is this thing, right? Like, is it retractable, like 16 feet, like a dog's leash?
No.
Like, it gives them a little run?
It's about 5 feet. And with social distancing, it's very important right now. I've justified it in my head that way.
Right.
That because of social distancing, now I can
so
just pull
her back.
So you're
using the baby now as a lead.
Right. So as we're walking her on her little baby leash, the parents are giving me side eye, and I keep explaining. I go, she's really fast. She just takes off.
Right.
And they're looking at me, and I'm wondering, did I make the wrong decision by doing this?
Well, I would start with the terminology, all right? I mean, you're walking her. She's walking with you. All of a sudden, you've immediately domesticated her.
Except we have a rope now. 1-800-330-9999. Have you ever used these baby leashes? What do you think of them? And if you want to judge me, listen, I get it because I was one of those parents and I deserve it. What do you think? It's just one of those things that I said I would never, ever do as a parent. And here I am and I did it. And I feel so guilty about it because I judged parents that did this and now I'm one of them.
Let's talk about the moment that you actually hooked your daughter up to the leash. All right.
Yeah.
And then you first went out there walking. Like, I mean, at first you're just concentrating on whether or not she's actually walking with it. Right.
So, well, she took off running like she always does. It's Anna and Raven.
But then she got jerked back
by
the 5-footer.
So I said I would never put my child on a leash until I had my toddler, Dakota, who is basically, I don't even know how to describe it. It's like you look at her and then she just vanishes into thin air. And you're like, where'd she go?
Magic.
And she's fearless. So if she disappears, there's a 100% chance that she is jumping off a cliff.
Good.
Yep.
Oh, that's good.
Right. And she's trying to fly.
So.
She's that kid.
I want to know for your heart's sake, like, because, you know, seeing it before, clearly you weren't in support of this, all right?
No.
But as soon as you hooked her up, knowing that these are the situations that you're faced with your daughter, who will run off a cliff, apparently.
Yep.
How did it feel in your heart? Besides the side glances, did you secretly just go, yep, mastered that problem. Woo!
I didn't. I felt guilty about it. Felt guilty that I did it. I felt guilty that I would never do that with my older daughter, my first. And now here I am doing it with her. And I just feel like, I don't know.
How will you explain it to her when she's like 10? How will you explain it?
Mommy had to put you on a leash just like Doggy because you didn't really want to stay put. 1-800-330-9999. It's all right if you want to judge me. It's Anna and Raven. What do you think of the kid leashes?
I had the second child just like you, and he was the worst as far as getting away. They didn't exist back then. And I'll tell you what, I would have loved to have him on a leash.
So what did you use instead? Was it the invisible fence with the shock collar?
No, he was like Houdini. I would be holding his hand 1 minute, the next minute he'd be gone.
It's like nothing I'd ever seen before. It's so crazy because my older was so much different. I feel like I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. I just close my eyes or I look away for a second and then she's gone.
Yep, and the best place for them to hide is in the clothes rack at the store.
Yeah, and they think it's funny. They think it's hilarious.
I mean, if I could get away with it as a grown man, right. I would go in there and play Fort all the time if I could.
Mm-hmm. Just hide from your wife.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we checked on our Facebook page, search Anna and Raven. I put a picture of a little Dakota on the leash, my older daughter Hayden walking her. And Karen wrote, I had one for my nephew when he was a toddler, and we went hiking with my dad.
Nephew?
Yeah.
It's not even your kid.
No, nope. She has a collection for other kids. So
if the mom doesn't have one, but you have one.
Right. My dad was quote-unquote walking him, wasn't paying attention.
Oh, my gosh.
And my nephew walked right off a ridge. Huge drop, but he didn't drop too far.
Because of the leash.
Because of the leash. Because dangling. Just dangling leash.
I mean, what would you do if you found out that your babysitter was actually a dog walker? What would you do?
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What do you think of the leash?
Okay. I had 4 children under the age of 10 when I was young, and I would always keep them on the leash until they were at least 3. My oldest son wore it until he was 5 because he just thought it was fun.
Yeah.
So if you convince your kids that they're cool, then they'll want to stay on them.
Imagine if you can keep your teenager on a leash.
Right.
What if I could get Hayden, my 11-year-old, to be down with that, like every single time that she wants to go to her friend's house? Like, I'm sorry, the leash doesn't reach that far.
I'm just thinking if I had 4 or 5, like I could hook them up to something and they could, like, you know, run me through the grocery store like it was Santa's sleigh.
Right, right.
I'd make that seem like the best game ever.
Like those Alaskan dogs, they could pull you on
right.
a sled.
Mush, mush. Imagine how much easier that would make it loading in on the beach a summer weekend, right?
Right. 1-800-330-9999. What do you think about this? Have you ever used these baby leashes before? And if you're against them, we want to hear about that too. Hypocritical. That's what I feel really guilty about it. I'm not going to lie.
Well, you can just repent and apologize for all the times that you said those nasty things.
Well, I didn't say it. I just insinuated it.
You thought it.
It's Anna and Raven. Did you ever keep your kid on a leash? You know, like those, like the monkey on the back. Remember that with the tail? It used
right.
to be a leash, but now they've evolved. So now they're like little backpacks. And then, you know, you strap them to the front and they're little cute backpacks. But really what they are baby leashes. It's 100% what they are. My 11-year-old daughter, Hayden, was afraid of everything. Every fear I've ever had in myself, I've instilled in my 11-year-old.
Good. Perfect.
Yep. Yeah, she's right. afraid of strangers. She's afraid of heights.
When you see that at 30, you're going to feel so guilty, I think.
I feel guilty about it now. Because at 11, I see it. I go, she's me. She has every fear I have.
Right.
But my toddler, Dakota, is like nothing I'd ever seen before. I take my eyes off her for a split second, and she's gone.
She runs.
She is fearless. Fearless. Full throttle running.
Right.
And all I could think, finally, I said to my older daughter, I go, I don't know what to do. I think I got to put her on a leash.
You got to reel this thing in somehow.
And sure enough,
right.
I bought a baby leash and I put her on it, even though I've always judged parents that did that. And I used to think to myself, why don't you control your kid? Why don't you pay attention to your kid? And
right.
here I am. I'm like, nope, no, I get it. I'm a jerk. You're right. I'm a jerk. I didn't see that.
Say that you have to break the spirit of a horse to make it a true racing champion.
It's true.
Right? So that's kind of what you've done, right? You've just broken it.
We asked on our Facebook page. You can search Anna and Raven. I posted a picture of Hayden, my older one, walking my little one on the
leash. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
Everything is wrong with this.
Not in the house. Only when we're in public.
Oh, like, perfect. Like, yeah, right. Even better.
I don't like tied to a tree, God forbid, or anything like that. And I said, like, what do you think about this? And if you want to judge me, like, go for it. I get it. Like, I kind of deserve it. And Tara wrote, sorry, but why did you cave? Those things are leashes for children. So not judging just how I feel about them, I have 4 kids and my youngest 2 are twins who would always go in opposite directions.
Dual leashes.
I swore I'd never use it and I didn't. I know.
Dual leashes. I never know how people can get those to work, though, because how do you get the dogs to go in the same direction? Mm-hmm. Same thing with kids, man.
Yeah.
They each see their own things, all right?
Yeah.
Or you got to have an alpha and a beta.
Kathy Rowe, as long as you don't carry around a poop bag for her, don't worry about what people think. Oh, I do. It's her diaper bag.
I mean, it's the diaper bag.
Yeah, it's exactly.
Right.
It's
her you all carried a poop bag, so don't judge on that account.
Oh, man. Tony Rowe, he has two, a backpack and a wrist cord. It just depends on where we're going and how much freedom I want to give my daughter.
Right.
What?
You have the combination of the two. You can always get them to pull left.
Oh,
easy,
my
right?
Gosh. Yeah.
Just one tug on the hand wrist.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What do you think about the kid leashes?
I think it's awful. It's making your children look like a dog. I mean, children need to learn to stay safe and stay close. All these leashes are teaching your children is that that somebody or anybody or something will drag them if they get even just a little bit curious.
Yeah, and I'm okay with my kid knowing that. Like, it doesn't change all that much when you're an adult. Getting a little bit too far out of the line, you get tased, right? I mean, they tackle you anyways.
I understand, though, because even what she's saying is harsh to me. It's a lot of times what I thought is that, like, your kids should be able to, like, wander and have a little bit mm-hmm. of freedom until they keep wandering too far.
Right.
And then you just want to pull them right back.
And there's a city bus. Right. All right? Yeah. I mean, yeah, you've got to be careful. I mean, it would be wonderful if we had the room to roam and everybody was going to be just fine. But I don't have that much faith. I'll put something with Velcro around their wrist right now.
But I do appreciate it and you being honest with me. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Go ahead. Give it to me. What do you think about the leash?
You know what, Anna? Don't let people judge you. Listen, when my son was little, I had to bring him to the hospital 3 times at least because he just kept severely scraping up his knees. He just was riding his bike and he got these terrible knee accidents. So I started making him wear knee pads. Everywhere we went, going to the Stop and Shop, knee pads. Got to wear them all the time, no matter what. And so you may get some weird looks. Some people may judge you in their mind, but you know what? You're keeping your kid safe.
Yeah, but people thought your kid was Tony Hawk, like, in the making. My kid looks like it's being restrained by a rope, which is actually exactly what's happening.
Well, you know what? That may be true, and my kid loved the skateboard, but the fact is that you're doing what's best for your kid, no matter what. So that, regardless of what people think of you.
Well, thank you.
That's all I need to know about 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 you. It's Anna and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. I have brought this up many times before, but I've seen so much of it over the weekend, I thought I'd bring it up once again.
What do you got?
If you are a cryptic Facebook poster, that is all I need to know about you.
Pray for me.
Pray. I need... Prayers needed.
Right.
And I've said this a million times.
No information.
I don't know what I'm praying for. Like, you think my prayers just come out like nothing? Like, I need to know what exactly am I praying for.
Right. Give me a little material to work with here.
This was what I saw over the weekend. Worst day ever.
Oh, what
I think about
that. What qualifies is that?
Like,
right.
A lot of things have to happen for it to be the worst day ever.
All right. So let me give you, if I give you 3 spots, fill it right now for worst day ever. Give me 3 normal day things that could happen that would make it the worst day ever. Go.
Spill coffee all over your shirt.
Okay.
On the
spill
way to
coffee
work.
Is a good one, right?
Yep,
all right. What else?
That doesn't actually make it the worst day ever.
What? Don't stall.
Okay.
Now, number 2.
Worst day ever. You lose your job.
Losing a job seems good, right?
Yep,
right.
Yep.
Well, bad, I mean, is what I mean, right? Okay. Right.
Let's see.
A financial hardship then.
Yep.
Right.
Something breaks in your house.
Right. Oh, that's also good. To me, I automatically, for I don't know why, in my mind, I think of changing a tire on the side of the road.
That's the worst day ever.
I have like AAA. Like, I mean, I haven't changed a tire on the side of the road probably in 20 years. But to me, that's the first thing that came to mind. And it's going to be hot while I'm doing it. Very, very hot.
Yeah. No, I think unless somebody in your family is ill or has passed away.
No, we had to take death out of the equation. Did you not get that when I first opened this up for you?
I'm sorry. Yeah. But to me, if you say the worst day ever, like that has to happen, that to be the worst day ever.
Right.
When I look back on my life and I think about what were the worst day ever.
Maybe a car accident.
Somebody died. Like that's
well,
what happened.
Right. But keeping it light. Right. So if somebody did die, you feel like this person would have posted a notice about that, I guess. Right.
But if a skunk drowned in your pool, that's sad.
Right.
But it's not the worst day
ever. It's messy. It's not going to be fun.
Right.
But
Like, you have a pool.
Yeah.
Like, that already puts you ahead of everybody else.
If you have speakers that actually hurt the ears from a distance of 20 to 30 yards. That's all I need to know about you.
What happened?
So I went to a state park over the weekend, and it's on the river, right? And the river is the melting pot of society, I have found. There were so many different groups of people hanging out. Everybody was having a great time. It was good. But these people pulled up, and they took the speakers out of their car. And Anna, I had the booms in my cars forever. I mean, they were impressive, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
This guy pulled these two speakers out of his car, put them on the roof of his car, and I swear to you, I've never heard anything that loud in my life. And I've been to a lot of concerts, man, and I was 50 yards away. You could, like, drive away deer, people, dump trucks, jackhammers, anything with that sound. It was piercing.
Don't you think it's rude when people blast like that? Like, what? Like, if you could hear it and your family could hear it, why does everybody else need to hear it too?
We asked them to turn it down, and they did turn it down, to be fair, which was still 10 decibels above the octave that would be safe for birds or blue whales.
Oh, good.
Right. And I can't figure it out because they're sitting 10 feet in front of their car.
Right. Maybe they're like us. They've just been wearing headphones their whole lives and they can't hear anymore.
What picnic is it when you can't actually hear each other?
Now it's not a picnic, it's a party.
Right.
That's what it is. 1-800-330-9999. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Baseball is going to return next week. No fans, though. And the Mets have a plan. Cardboard cutouts of their fans.
Nice.
Yeah, in Sienna and Raven.
So, like, we just talking like cardboard cutouts that are all thrown in the stands, because I've seen that before over in Japan.
Yeah, but they've been using all kinds of dolls and mannequins.
That was some teams. Some teams can afford to bring the adult dolls to the baseball game.
Very
Which,
strange.
By the way, when they're clothed, it just looks like they're really excited to be there.
Yep, it's true. It's like they're screaming for the home team.
Oh!
If you're a season ticket holder and you renew your package for next year, you're going to get a free cutout, I guess, of yourself. Wait a minute.
It's actually a thing of you?
Yeah.
That's the greatest thing ever. Can I get it at the end of the season?
Well, you just paid all this money for these tickets that you can't use. And if you're going to renew your package for next year in addition to that.
Wow.
Now, the money does go, I should say, to COVID-19 relief. So that's the good news. But even if you're not a season ticket holder, you may have a chance to buy these cutouts.
Who's COVID-19 relief? The baseball teams?
Know. I have no idea.
The people working in the concession stand, then I would care about it.
You know how it is now.
It's just
nowadays.
A big pool.
You just say COVID-19 relief and everyone's like, yep, got it.
Great, right. I feel great. Now I'm going to heaven.
But all I kept thinking about is, like, if that's me, I'm a season ticket holder, and I get that email that says, here, upload the picture of yourself so we can get the cardboard cutout.
Right.
There isn't a world where I put a picture of myself. No.
Not even like a younger picture of yourself?
No, just in general.
Like your best good looking picture?
I mean, this is your chance to shine, and you can put anybody in the stands. So, and you know that people are going to be watching this on TV like crazy.
Right.
You can put anyone in the stands in your seats. You got to be creative.
So wait a minute. So you're thinking about, like, I mean, not Barbie. You're not talking about like a cartoon. You're talking about an actual other real person.
You could do anything.
Well, I mean, you can't make yourself Beyonce. That's illegal.
Why?
Because Beyonce's got, like, rights to her own image and likeness.
Okay.
I mean, it's pretty simple.
No. What if you just all of a sudden...
No. I'll just do what I want.
Right. If you have a picture of Beyonce, you can do that.
No. It would be illegal. I promise you that.
What if I put a picture of the Queen of England and, like, all of a sudden you got to play and there she is looking all stuffy
and
disapproving?
I mean, you know that they got their stuff trademarked, all right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Megxit, all right? Just, you know, read your local, you know, recent paper. They definitely got some stuff trademarked.
Now, usually you buy a pair of tickets, right? You have a pair of season tickets.
Right, right. So
what if I submit a picture of Biggie and Tupac? So
you see how this is exactly how you get into the realm of illegal right now.
I'm going to put... So here's Biggie and Tupac in the stands.
They've resurfaced now.
Yeah, they're not on an island.
They were alive on that island,
time.
And now they're back.
Now here they are at a Mets game.
And they're friends again.
Chilling at Citi Field.
I think I'm just going to with, like, the iPhone avatar of myself, which is clearly the thinner... younger, fuller head of hair.
I was going to say, has more hair.
More handsome version of myself. I think I would go with that and then avoid the lawsuits.
I don't know.
Maybe I'd put that guy next to Biggie and Tupac. Imagine the hits and the followers we would get.
So many. Yep. Let's take a look at our text messages. You can do it too. Look at your last text chain with your significant other, whether you're married or you're dating, and just take a peek at it. It's Anna and Raven. Raven, you've been married for how long now?
I've been married for 8 years.
8 years.
Yep.
Okay. I've been how long?
Dating for 13, together for 13.
How long have I been married? I've been married. Oh, we just had our 15-year wedding anniversary.
Wow, good.
Yeah. Take a look at your last text message with your wife, Alicia. Can you read it? Is it appropriate? Can you read it?
Yeah, I can read it. Can you measure the rug at the front door? My response, 45 by 30.
So hot.
Yeah, there's not a lot of romance in there. I mean, it's a practical thing. We need a rug for the front door.
Yeah. I texted my husband. My test was negative. I'm leaving work in 10 minutes.
I mean, that could be anything.
Right. But
of course, that was a COVID test.
That was.
But,
I took the antibody test because I was curious. That's what I'm talking about.
That could have been anything.
Wait, he didn't even respond.
Right.
He didn't even respond
to it. Like, glad you're alive?
Yeah. Nothing.
That's
cool. No response. Yeah.
Stoked.
Yeah. The following text after that is, want to meet for lunch? I need to go to Target anyway. And he wrote about, I was just about to go to your mom's for lunch. Oh, that's helpful.
That's all right. Nice.
Well, here's the thing. The way you text when you're married versus the way you text when you're dating somebody is vastly different. And I don't think you realize it, but it has a lot to say about the deterioration of your relationship.
I would say even on two levels. Like, I mean, the things you're going to text are going to be different. But let's say even if you sent the exact message, like it's just received differently too.
Right, exactly. So according to this new study and all this new work, it's saying that when you're dating, you say each other's names a lot in the text, which to me is weird. Because I would never even text you, Raven, and be like, hi, Raven.
Hey, Raven.
It's me, Anna.
Right.
It's like, aren't I in your contacts? Don't you know who I am?
Right.
But that's a big difference between
caller
dating
ID
and marriage.
Now.
Yeah. When you're dating, you say love a lot more. In marriage, that's a rare occurrence when it comes to text messages.
Don't you ever text me and put my name in there like three times and use the word love. Don't you ever do it.
I won't.
Good.
Unless it was something like, hey, Raven,
right.
I'd love it if you pick me up a cup of coffee on the way to work this morning.
No, that's self-serving. I know what that is.
And needless to say, texting your spouse becomes significantly less than when you text your boyfriend or girlfriend when you first start dating somebody new.
Well, you're insatiable at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then after a while, you're saturated.
Yep, you're good. You're good.
You've had enough.
Right. It says that in the beginning, things are flirty and playful.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you're married, they become predictable and bland.
I guess
it's already knowing
study,
what we know.
But right.
Right. But I think it says a lot about, in general, how we deal with our relationships. It's like the more comfortable we become with somebody, the more time goes on, we kind of forget to do a lot of those
things.
Well,
we take things for granted, right? You should put in a real effort, Anna. You should have responded romantically to your husband's, I've got to go to Target anyways.
That
message.
Was me. Me.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah, I have to. Wanted me for lunch. I have to go to Target anyway. I thought that was romantic. I wanted to meet
right,
for lunch.
Because you wanted to meet for lunch.
Right.
And then he was like, I'm just going to go to your mom's.
So I thought we would do a test.
Okay.
I want you to right now come up with something that you're going to text your wife, Alicia.
Okay.
That's out of the norm, but really sweet.
Something because, romantic.
Yeah,
then.
Like something that she should be expecting anyway because you're her husband. And, like, it shouldn't phase her.
Well, I mean, if it's going to be romantic, it's probably going to be out of left field for her anyways, especially at,
let's you know, see what they
in
say.
The, in the morning time.
Maybe it'll spark something with our marriages.
It could.
What am I going to write?
Are you going to write it now? You're going to figure it out right now?
Yeah. Here, I'm going to write. Okay, ready?
Yeah, go.
I'm going to text Paul.
Go.
I think you are the most handsome man in the world, and marrying you was the best decision of my life.
I mean, if I read that message, I think to myself, who did she just run into? But okay, that's nice.
Okay. What are you going to write to Alicia?
Oh, you know, on the spot. I just, here we go. All right. Here. Hair looks like brown velvet. And I can't wait to see you later. How about that?
It's that's weird, but I guess.
What do you mean?
I mean, romantic.
Put
hair is like brown
point.
Velvet.
It is. She's lovely.
Okay.
Velvet-like hair.
All right, hit send. 1, 2, 3, send.
Go. It's gone.
Okay, you send something super romantic to your significant other, too, and let's see what they respond. Hopefully he's awake. All right. It's coming up next with Anna and Raven. All right.
What did you get?
Now I think we have a problem.
What's up?
Okay. It's Anna and Raven. If you missed it a few minutes ago, we were talking about the fact that there's these new studies out and polls, and basically what is like a no-brainer is that the way you text your boyfriend or girlfriend when you first start dating versus the way you text your spouse when you're married are two completely different things.
No surprise there. You're hungry for the other person when you first meet them, right?
Right.
It's all that you can think about. You're crazy. And then after that, you fall into the normalcy of life and you just
Which is sad.
Yeah.
It's Hannah and Raven. And my husband has actually said it to me several times. He's like, oh, you're not romantic like you used to be romantic. And I'm like, yeah.
Were you used to be a romantic person?
I did. He always talks about the one time when we first started dating that he had a big job interview and it was pouring rain. And I snuck out and I went out all the way to the car, and we lived in like in a condo complex so it was far, and came back soaking wet because I could bring him an umbrella.
Yeah.
And he's like, now, if it was pouring rain, you would just let me go out there. And I'm like, yep.
Right. You know? Is that romantic or sweet?
Well, I think a little bit of both.
Okay.
I think a little bit of both.
All right. So anyways, we sent our spouses romantic messages.
Because we said, like, let's see if this is true. Would they be so surprised if we wrote something really romantic? Because I don't think so. We've been married 15 years. Like, what's the big deal?
Took forever for my wife to respond. I'm telling you, she must have been thinking that I sent that message to her by accident. All right. So you said, what did you send Paul? What did you send your husband?
I sent Paul. I said, I think you are the most handsome man in the world, and marrying you is the best decision of my life. And there was a lot of like the three dots, and then they disappeared
as he thought about it.
And then he wrote back, that might be one of the nicest things my wife has ever said to me, definitely in a long time. Thank you. He can't know that this was a radio thing. He's gonna get mad. Like that was genuine that he wrote that back. He's gonna get mad if he knows that I only did it because we were talking about this. We did it as an experiment.
We've got a big problem then, okay? Because so let me tell you what I sent and what her response was. And I told you it took her forever. She literally just responded just now.
Okay.
I wrote, your hair flows like brown velvet. Can't wait to see you today, my love. She responded, after 15 minutes, that's sweet. Did you take drugs today? That's what she said.
That's nice.
That is what she said.
Right, did you take drugs? What? Okay.
And I said, LOL, thanks. It's a radio bit, but it felt nice
to
send.
You convinced, you told her it was a radio thing? Oh, that was dumb of you.
And right, now she's mad. And then she sent me a screenshot that she sent a message to her group of girlfriends that said, somebody talk me off the cliff right now because he just sent me this message and it makes zero sense.
She thought you were having an affair.
Yeah.
And that you sent it to somebody else and accidentally 100%. Sent it to her. She thought you were having an affair.
100% what happened.
What's wrong with us? We're married to these people. I, you know what? You do the same thing. You send a romantic text to your significant other and then just see what they say. And then it'll let you know if we're messing up as lovers.
What are you going to do now? Are you going to send more romantic text? Or are you going to send less because you're scared you're going back into your corner?
We're never going to speak of this again, and hopefully he'll never find out the truth. When you go out with friends, what's your protocol on paying the check? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What do you do, Raven? Because something happened this weekend that it's a pet peeve of mine that I think is the opposite of many people.
Well, my whole thing is I hate to impose my will upon other people. I want people to do whatever it is that they feel most comfortable with. So, and the truth is that if it didn't seem like every single time you greeted somebody at a restaurant and said that you wanted separate checks, they didn't seem like you had slapped them in the face or assaulted them or they made such a big deal out of it, then I would probably ask for that for, you know, convenience sake or whatever. On the other hand, the second people sit down and they start to debate the check, if it takes more than 2 minutes total, I end up usually just grabbing the check and going, you guys figure it out later, and just paying the whole thing right there.
See, okay.
Because it's so awkward for me, I can't stand it.
This is one of my biggest pet peeves is when the check comes, and I have the opposite. I don't care if you have four kids and I have two kids or there's seven people in your party and there's four people in my party. If we're out to dinner, I'm a family, you're a family, credit cards in the bill, we split it equally. We always split it equally.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, especially with big groups. I mean, there's a lot of sharing, I would imagine, too.
There's three families here. Three credit cards go in that bill. That's how we do it. Split it down the middle. It doesn't matter that your kid had this and your kid had this and whatever. But over the weekend, I went out with friends that we haven't seen.
You got to have a friend or two that rings it up on you a couple times, though.
So
that's got to backfire.
To me, that bothers me less than this friend. I have a couple friends that when I go out, they don't even take out their wallet.
Okay.
And it irks me, but like, whatever. But I have the friends that always sneaky pick up the check and like pay for me, which I know is to be nice and I know it's a kind gesture,
right?
But it drives me crazy.
Well, you just have to be sneakier the next time.
But I don't want to play that game.
Oh, what?
I don't want to play the, I have to go to the bathroom. Oh, I paid the check, guys. Let's go.
Oh, look at how sneaky I am.
Oh my gosh, that drives me nuts. Like, I just want to split the check. I just want to do it. I mean, the person with the calculator that's calculating is certainly not my favorite either.
Like, I can't do that.
Right.
I can't do that.
Right.
But if somebody ever pointed it out to you at the end, they go, look at the law of average with that friend when, the, you know, like you said, you've got some that don't even pull their wallet out.
Mm.
Look at the law of averages. There's always a couple people that will skate on that if you let them do that.
If you go out to dinner with friends, not your family, family's a little bit different, but when you go out with like groups of friends, what's your protocol on how to pay the check? What do you do? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. When you go out with friends, what's your protocol on paying the check? 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. I was out with friends this past weekend. They're the ones that disappear to go to the bathroom, but then they pay the check, and then they come back, and they're like, I already got it. And for some reason, that makes me so upset, because it's like, no, because then you have to have the argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, no.
No, it was our turn. Why did you do that?
Oh my gosh. Like, why did you
Why are you trying to act like you're better people than us?
It's not even that. Because then I have to make a mental note, and I got to make a note in my phone.
To make sure you don't forget next time.
Yeah, next time.
You've
got
to outsmart them, right?
It's our turn to pretend to go to the bathroom and bring our debit card.
See, in my neighborhood, sometimes it's a little bit different, right? If your friend disappears to go to the bathroom, then they might have actually just left.
They might have just left.
They'd be like, oh, no, that's on you.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I'll get you next time. You said that the last 10 times.
I always feel bad for the waiter or the waitress when the check comes. And you're like,
it is so
physically
awkward.
Starting fighting over it.
Yeah.
Or it just sits there and no one touches it.
Yeah.
You know?
But to be fair, how many times, too, do you have the server that when you ask them to split the check, they act like you're asking them to do like long division,
or calculus, or whatever. It gets tricky. And also, you know, I'm a restaurant kid. I grew up in the restaurant.
Yeah, I was a server for 10 years.
Yeah.
It wasn't that tricky.
Well, you know, I also don't like that when people ask to split, like, can you make separate checks? Because then, well, what if you ate half an appetizer?
Oh my gosh. Then what?
That's
their problem. Okay. You just put the checks in front of them. That's it.
I remember one time we were somewhere and the waitress was like, but you had a carafe of wine. And I was like, no, we don't need separate checks. And I could see the wheels turning in her head on she was going to do
it. She wasn't going to do it. She couldn't get there.
You
just saved her from a breakdown.
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What's your protocol on paying the check when you're out with friends?
Always. I've done it. You know, the other way where you get your separate checks and then it never works out. It's always awkward. You know, someone doesn't account for the tax and the tip. And I just found it's just way easier to just split it equally. It's just kind of tacky when everyone's kind of like, oh, you had this, you had this. You know, if it's your friends or your family, who cares? It's an extra like $2 or $3. So I always split it equally.
Yeah, I agree with that, to be honest.
I don't know. It's just it's always the same culprit. It's the same culprit.
Then why do you keep going out with them, Raven?
I don't know. You know, you can endure it on certain things, but sooner or later, you got to cash them in and let you know, nope,
no.
Markers are due today, my friend.
Yeah, when you have the people that are like, don't pay. Because I have one girlfriend that does that.
I wasn't even here.
Right.
Had two glasses of wine.
Oh, yeah.
That's $24.
Yeah. Then there's the extreme opposite. We have one group of friends that they love the raw bar. They love it. My husband and I don't eat the raw food.
The seafood tower.
That tower.
Right.
I'm like, that tower was $140?
At least every time. You're right.
No, got to split it down the middle. Our text line, my husband and I didn't make much money as a couple we used to hang out with. She writes, we would order draft beer and chicken at the lower costs, and they would order the high-end drinks and appetizers, and then they would want to split the bill down the middle,
right?
And they would only leave a 10% tip. Oh, there's nothing worse than the people that you're with if they're not, like, decent tippers.
Oh, I can't stand that. Right, because I'm an over-tipper.
Mm.
So that's a big deal for me.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's your protocol when it comes to paying the check?
Absolutely not. I don't split the check. First off, I don't drink, so why am I going to have to pay for my friends when they're ordering $11 glasses of wine? I think that's ridiculous.
So how do you handle that? Like, what do you say to them?
He just leaves. Just peace out.
Yeah, I'm super kind about it, but I ask for a separate check the minute we sit down, so it's very clear. And if they don't listen, then I just use a calculator on my phone and I figure out the math. I don't understand why the whole, like, I'll take care of the check, no problem, because that never bounces out. It's never equal. I never understood it, and I don't plan on it.
Well, you're right about that. Like, I like to do it because I just hate the fact that people are sitting down there forever trying to figure it out.
Well, he's calculator
guy. I always say figure it out later, but you know what? Time and time again, I've had not only friends, but my wife and all sorts of people say to me, why would you do that? Something about figuring out the check there at the table reminds me of grandma trying to count out her change to buy like an apple at a grocery store, and it's all the money she's got in her pocket. It just, I don't know, maybe I'm tripping, but that's what it does for me. I just whip out the plastic and act like money doesn't matter.
Right, but then you can't pay your bills, so what does that mean?
At least nobody else will witness me not paying my bills.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They let us know what they're arguing about, and then you get to decide who's right. Chuck and Natalie. Natalie, let's start with you. What's going on?
Hey, I am a painter, and a couple of years ago, they were selling for a couple thousand dollars at least. But because of the pandemic and the general economy, you know, not much has been selling.
When you say you're a painter, are you an artist that's selling paintings, or are you like...
I don't think she's doing condos.
Well, that's what I was saying. Are you right. painting like the exterior home?
Yes.
Although I can't stand painting myself. It's the worst.
No. Artist. You know, I do mixed media, acrylics, watercolors, and all such.
So, okay. All right.
Yes. I haven't been selling anything, and my husband has been saying that I should start selling at a reduced cost.
Your actual paintings.
And I don't agree with that. Yes.
Huh.
40% off. That type of thing. I get it with free shipping.
Where do you normally sell your paintings?
Well, usually they'd be gallery showings.
Okay.
So obviously that's not an option. But I also have an online site
right.
where people can go. So I have some marketing and former customers. So
it worries me that if you start dropping prices on something like how do you get back up to where you were, right? Sometimes.
Yeah. Chuck, what do you think about
exactly.
all this?
Well, I mean, I've fallen in love with her as a person and an artist, and I think she's really talented. But, you know, she's not going to be able to sell the paintings at the price that she's asking for right now. So I think she should drop the price in her paintings and keep her clients happy. She's always going to create new work. And I just, you know, we got bills to pay. And I don't know how long we can do the start an artist thing with COVID and everything. So I'm nervous about it.
That's so hard, right? When your other person's job is creativity.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I've even noticed that in other things. Like, people are just desperate and things that they would normally charge, like, $20 a class. All
I'm
of
sure,
a sudden, now it's like $5
right.
a class.
Your husband's wanted to give up on your rap aspirations forever.
Right.
All right? But you just keep pouring money into that album.
No, exactly.
Keep pouring money into there.
Yeah. That's a tough one. What we do is we ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Natalie. If you discount your work now, it may affect you in the future when things kind of get back on their feet. But they may see Chuck's side, too. Mortgage payments are due now.
Right.
Not in
and you're
six
always
going
to be creating, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and I think your customers may understand if the prices go up and you're not going to have a sale, you know, as the years go by. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say and hear them out?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I'm interested. I want to hear what they got to say.
Call or text. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
The worst part about the whole coronavirus, besides the actual sickness, is like the decisions that you have to make, because they're big, important financial decisions, because a lot of people are struggling.
Well, you have to plan not just for now, not just for tomorrow, but you have to plan long term. And with the future being uncertain, that's tricky.
Right. We're in the couples court, and Chuck wants his wife, Natalie, to drop the prices on her artwork. She's an artist. She's always done well,
mm-hmm.
but nothing's selling. You know, she doesn't have the gallery showings,
right.
and everything is online, and they're not getting the orders like they used to get and all that. And all of a sudden, he's like, listen,
tough.
You need to discount your work, because we got to pay the rent. Like, we got to pay the mortgage. We got to pay.
You know, the other thing that concerns me there is there's no guarantees that if you discount the work that you're actually going to sell those pieces anyways either right now, right? Because
mm-hmm.
everybody is tightening things up. And even if you have the money, you might be, you know... The artwork, adding to your art collection, is probably low on your list at this moment,
well,
right?
It's fair,
vacations
right.
go right away,
yeah.
right? Stuff like that. The extravagance goes right away.
But if you could pick up a few sales, it's better than nothing.
That's true.
But Natalie says if I discount my work now, what's going to happen later? People are always going to say, like, well, it's overpriced
right,
now. What
right.
are you going to do? So what would you do in a situation like that? Let's see. Catherine wrote on our Facebook page, she has to lower her prices. You got to do what you got to do to get by. I kind of agree with that.
Yeah.
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. Your calls and a verdict coming up next with Anna and Raven. Natalie is an accomplished artist. She makes good money selling her artwork. Except right now, Nobody's buying it.
Yeah, it's a tough time for everybody overall. That's why Chuck says the time is right for us to drop prices here at this point. We've got rent to pay, the bills, all those things. They have to be taken care of.
It's Couples Court with Anna and Raven, but she says if I discount my work now, I'm discounting myself. And then what happens when the virus is gone? Are people still going to pay my prices thinking that now I'm overpriced?
Can you come back from it?
What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I am on her side. No, absolutely not. Do not drop those prices. That's just a vicious cycle. Like she said, people are going to get used to the low prices, and you can't spike prices back up after something like this. She has to just stay put and hope that everybody recovers really soon.
Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
Hi, good morning. I'm on his side. I believe, you know, bills have to be paid on time. I mean, I understand the times are tough now, but because of what is going on now, I don't think her customers would feel a certain type of way if she drops the prices now, but then puts them at the same price they were before, after all this is over. So I agree, you know, bills have to be paid now, and, you know, she has to do what she has to do to survive.
Thank you for the call. Have a good morning. And Ann Raven, whose side are you on?
I am on the husband's side. Art is only worth as much as someone is being willing to pay for it. It's unfortunate that her art won't go for more right now, but if she's not selling her art, it's because the market won't tolerate it, and she needs to lower her prices.
Yeah.
Maybe she should paint some condos in the meantime.
Well,
but
maybe
she can do that under a different name.
I'm a firm believer in you do what you got to do to get by, and I've never been afraid to work and do whatever I had to do to pay my bills. So if this is what she's got to do, she's got to suck it up.
It's so hard, though, with something like artwork. It's like your music or whatever. I mean, you work a long time to build that value in there. Oh, tough.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Chuck, our audience agreed with you this morning. Natalie, it's a big pill to swallow because I know you feel like you're devaluing your worth of the work that you do and the time and the effort you put into it and your talent. But you got to pay the bills. And if that's going to mean cutting the prices temporarily, hopefully your clients going forward will understand that this is just a temporary thing to keep you afloat.
Yeah, I mean, it's just tough. It's already hard, you know, as an artist, saying that something you value at a point is the same thing that they value. To cut that in half or 40% or whatever the heck it is, you know, I might never go back from that.
Well, we got to keep a positive attitude, right? The world's most successful artists, they have different periods of times, different works, different levels of those works. You could call this your COVID collection.
You think Michelangelo discounted his work?
I'm telling you right now that Michelangelo had some times where he wasn't making bank, all right? That's why they keep finding stuff on random backs of canvases and all these things later on.
Probably right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you have such a good pool of clientele right now, and, you know, those people just need a little bit of time to work, but they'll understand when you bring the price back up, and you're an amazing artist, and no matter when you're creating, people are going to want to buy your art, they're going to want your work, and right now we just have to help them out a little bit so we can help ourselves out, and I'm glad people agree and understand, because, again, we have to have a roof over our head. You have to have your studio. These are the important things, and if we have to adjust to make that happen, and that's what we have to do right now.
All right. If you got a problem, too, send an email, couplescourt@annaandraven.com. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
My name's Donna.
Hey, Donna, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Donna.
All right, Donna, we got $500 on the line. All you have to do is beat Raven. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Answer them as quickly as you can. I'll bring them back in the studio and ask them the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, though, goes to Raven. You ready to play?
I'm ready.
Number one, Mariah Carey's new memoir will be titled Humbled and Healing when released in September. Where was Mariah Carey born?
Huntington, Long Island.
Number two, The Crown on Netflix will get a 6th season after all. What is the name of the official residence of the sovereigns? In other words, what's the name of the place where the queen lives?
Buckingham Palace.
Number three, an unopened 1985 Super Mario Brothers game was just sold at auction for $114,000. What gaming system introduced us to Super Mario Brothers?
Nintendo.
Number four, Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith discussed that Jada dated recording artist August Alsina while they were on a secret break. On what TV show did Jada meet Will?
I don't know.
Number five, Katy Perry just found out that she may be cousins with Taylor Swift, which is super ironic since they just settled their feud not too long ago. In which Taylor Swift music video did they reunite where Katy Perry dressed as a hamburger and Taylor Swift as fries?
I don't know.
All right, Donna. Not awful. Let me bring Raven back in.
Yo.
Raven!
Yo.
You're ready to go this morning. Donna got 3 out of 5.
Yeah, 3 out of 5 is pretty good. See how I do.
Number one. Mariah Carey's new memoir will be titled Humbled and Healing when it's released in September. Where was Mariah Carey born?
Is she humbling now? Long Island, of course. Long Island!
What is that? Healing. I don't even know what you... Stop it. I don't know what you're doing. Long Island. Stop. Oh, my God. Stop it. Was that you trying to be Mariah
Long
Carey?
Island comes
okay.
along.
All right. That was awful.
Huntington.
All right. Number two.
Represent.
The Crown on Netflix will get a 6th season after all.
Okay.
What is the name of the official residence of the sovereigns, a.k.a. what's the name where of the queen lives?
Buckingham Palace, of course.
Yes.
Season 5 stunk. I'm sorry. All right? Unless you're going to get into the Megxit stuff and the Diana stuff, like, what's the point of the show going on?
Number 3, an unopened 1985 Super Mario Brothers game was just sold at auction for $114,000.
Of course.
What gaming system introduced us to Super Mario Brothers?
Nintendo, Super Nintendo system that was that game for.
It's actually Nintendo.
Nintendo launched the game, the Super Nintendo system. Mm. The version that guy bought was for Super Nintendo.
That is 3. You guys are tied. Number 4, Jada Pinkett Smith and Will Smith discussed that Jada dated recording artist August Alsina while they were on a secret break.
Did they date? Or, okay.
On what TV show did Jada meet Will?
Take a guess, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
That is the right guess. Yep. And number 5, Katy Perry just found out that she may be cousins with Taylor Swift. Which is super ironic since they just settled their feud not too long ago. In which Taylor Swift music video did they reunite where Katy Perry dressed as a hamburger and Taylor Swift as fries?
You need to calm down.
You need to calm down.
That's
right.
A great video.
It is. I'm sorry, Donna. Raven beat you 5-3 this morning.
Feeling that, pretty good.
That does get you your own Anna on Raven t-shirt.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. It's Donna, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time.
We're going to throw another $100 in the pot, so that means tomorrow morning, $600 if you can beat Raven. Make sure you're listening at noon and 5:30 today for the cheat sheet. It'll be the first 2 answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions.